The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Yes, My Music it is, and the four contestants remain unchanged, not to say unrepentant. Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden competing against John Amos and Frank Muir. The opening round this week might be subtitled Originals. They're all the original singers from London productions of successful musical comedy songs. One mark for the name of the singer. So, Ian Wallace, who was this at Drury Lane in 1927?
One alone to be my own, I alone to know her caresses, one to be eternally, the one my worshipping soul possesses.
Ian.
Rather unmistakable tones, those. That sounds like a great favourite of that generation and a much-loved singer, Harry Welchman.
Yes, mark to you, it's Harry Welchman singing One Alone from the Desert Song. Mm. Dennis Norden, this voice changed somewhat over the many years, but I think you'll find him recognisable.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue, my disposition depends on you. I never mind the rain from the sky, if I can find the sun in your eyes.
Any idea, Dennis?
Well, we sort of discussed it, and there are points there, notes that sound like Stanley Holloway.
Disposition, he said, yes, in that lovely North Country way. Stanley Holloway, it was in his young days at the London Hippodrome in 1927, marked you. We'd have found him a little more recognisable, perhaps, in this.
There's drinks and girls all over London, and I got to track them down in just a few more hours.
That's rather more recent. A mark to Dennis for Stanley Holloway.
Do you remember the original lyric of Sometimes I'm Happy?
Well, oh, no.
Because you had it on a programme.
Yes, huh? I'm pretending not to remember it.
Come on and pet me. Yes. Was the original lyric.
Come on and pet me.
Yeah.
I can't remember any more of it now. That's right. Come on and pet me. Before they even thought of calling it Sometimes I'm Happy.
In fact, it went into three shows. Hit the Deck was the third show it was in before it
Never
succeeded.
Waste a good tune, they would say, don't they? John Amos, over to you. Who was this in 1934?
You're so inconsistent, first you're very nice, then you're cold and distant, like a sheet of ice. I intend to say it twice, first you're very nice, and then you seem to change somehow.
Any ideas? Frank's having a mutter there. No?
Well, he says it's either Bobby Howes or Jack Buchanan.
No, it's neither.
Well, no, I didn't mean that.
What the hell did you stand for? What side do you want?
Exploratory.
Oh, exploratory.
It's somebody who's... It's understandable you should say Bobby Howes. A very similar voice to Bobby Howes, but not Bobby Howes. He took up singing again 40 years later, I may say.
In 1974.
In Andre Previn's and Johnny Mercer's The Good Companions. Or perhaps J.B. Priestley's The Good Companions.
Johnny Mills.
John Mills it was, but I can't give you the mark. It was John Mills.
Well, you could.
Singing the... Johnny Mills singing the verse of I'm on a Seesaw from Jill Darling at the Savile Theatre, one of Vivian Ellis's songs in 1934. Frank, your turn. Cole Porter, Frank, in one of his inspired verses, described one of his own songs as the tympantithesis of melody. Unfortunately, the girl who sang it in The Fleet's Lit Up couldn't quite manage the word tympantithesis, as you shall hear.
I got the sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So curb your emotions to curb while I crucify the bus. The verse I've started seems to me the tin pen piece of melody. Don't spare you any pain. I'll skip the darn thing and sing the refrain.
And let's hope she has more luck with it. Frank, who was she?
Sort of faintly American accent.
Yes.
Leads one to that sort of 100% female.
Yes.
Lady Frances Day.
The bombshell of blonde, yes, that's right. Frances, or otherwise affectionately known as Fanny Day. It was Frances Day singing, and that gets you your mark. We move on to the next round. I have here four newspaper reviews of musical stage performances. I want to see if you can identify them. Ian, it says here, the outstanding performance of the evening was Anne Murray's Friday, a difficult part well and securely sung. What were they performing at Sadler's Wells that night?
Robinson Crusoe.
Thank you. Except that that was Frank.
Well, doesn't usually get such help from the other side, is that?
Frank thought he was joking, but he was actually helping.
Well, Friday sounds like Robinson Crusoe.
Yes, and for your other mark, the composer?
Ooh. It presumably was not an opera. No. It doesn't sound like
more,
an opera.
More like an opera. Robinson Crusoe, I suppose, although I say it with great diffidence.
Yes.
In the presence of a French friend.
Daniel Defoe.
Yes.
I'm
same man who wrote Dick Whittington et son chat. It was Offenbach. And you get one mark out of two because you got Robinson Crusoe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Dennis, this is from another review. It, that's the show, details the life from birth of a dedicated doctor who turns into a fashionable city practitioner but finally scorns worldly success to return to work in his dad's country practice. That was put on with outstanding enterprise, said the critic, by the students of the Guildhall School of Music. Any idea what it was?
No.
Outstanding enterprise when students put on this show. Because I can tell you something, it was never seen in Europe before that student production in May 1973.
It wasn't put it, no. I mean, this isn't an opera or something that
no,
I
No, you should know it. It ran 9 months in New York.
Is it Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yes. One mark, you got to it.
Well,
I can't really give you another
no,
mark.
No, then it I? Isn't. That, what? What's. It isn't that other one that didn't run for a long time of theirs, the one that Big Black Giant comes up. It's Allegro.
It's Allegro. Yeah. 1.5 out of 2, because I had to give some help. Allegro by Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yes. John, a reviewer of a London Coliseum premiere asked himself, was John Friart's Caesar fey enough? Was Marguerite sufficiently provocative in the first scene? And was not the title role played rather as a Parsifal than as a nervous, pint-sized barber? Which opera, for goodness sake? I'll give you a clue. It must have been Purgatory for the chap who wrote the music.
Purgatory. Hell?
He also wrote a piece called Purgatory. But I don't think you know.
Gordon Cross.
Yes, Gordon Cross, the composer, and the premiere was the premiere of, on the 13th of March 1974.
Oh, I saw the opera.
You should have looked at the programme, shouldn't you?
You're too mean.
So far.
Josephine Bastow was the heroine.
Ah, well, all
this. It was a story rather like a
story. Did you say the story?
Rather like a story.
Oh, no, I'm trying to help you.
It's one of those good soldier Schweik kind of stories.
You've only got 2 out of 3, Mark.
Yes, I know.
That's right. As a matter of fact, you've got 1 out of 2. I'm going to have to tell you the story of Vasco was the title. That's what it said on the front page of your programme, and you never looked. Frank, this is from a record review. One can hardly overpraise Vishnaevskaya, Archipova, Klepatskaya, or Yevgeny Kipkalo, while Petrov's Bezukhov and Maslenikov's Anatole remain firmly in the mind. Any ideas?
It might have been Peace of War.
Yes, could it be Russian?
Yes, it could. It could be Russian. Yes,
a voice from the clouds. came to me suddenly saying, could it be Peace and War?
Or, better
let's
still.
Play backwards.
Better still, War and
War
Peace.
And peace.
Yes, that's right. For one, Markham, the composer of the opera...
Ah.
Prokofiev.
Prokofiev, says John, and he gets the other mark, yes. And my apologies to any Russian listeners for my pronunciation. I did my best. Now to the piano and those two medleys, six tunes in each, and half a mark for the correct title. First medley, as usual, is for Ian and Dennis, working together with, I warn you, a real brain cudgeler at the start. Your pen,
wow.
I glimpsed your pen travelling rapidly over the paper, Dennis. Right.
Yeah.
The first one, you might know, Ian wouldn't know the first one.
The first one, there ought to be a moonlight saving time,
yes.
So I could love that girl.
That's one from the past, isn't it?
Yeah.
We both got the second one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then
Bangles,
Ian,
baubles.
Or even the other way around.
Baubles, bangles, and
baubles,
beads.
Baubles, bangles,
and beads. It's like Peace and War, isn't it?
Yeah.
Baubles, bangles, and beads, yes. Then?
And everybody's doing it.
Yes, that's right. Then?
Stumbling all around.
Oh, stumbling
all
yes.
Around, yeah.
And?
Well, I got a bit of In the Mood.
Yes, yes. I didn't write it down, but I thought I had that.
And the last one for your third mark?
I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day.
Yes, six out of six, 3 marks.
Just as well I have a marvellous partner, because for the last one I'd written down the Dark Town Strutter's Ball.
The second medley, this time, piano again, this time for John and Frank. Right. Front who calls out the titles ought to bone up on her opera. She's rather thin on opera at the moment, but we'll see how they got on.
I've got
right.
Two.
Yeah.
First one is noses are shining in Picardy.
Or worse to that effect, yes, roses of Picardy. The second one.
Ta-dum, ta-dum, bum, bum.
Come. I have a second one, actually.
Oh, no, right.
I'm a rather slow writer.
There's a little bit of knick-knack, little knick-knack paddywhack, this old man. Then came a ballad, dance band ballad of a few years ago.
Your department, old man.
What do you mean, my department? you're the musicologist.
Which word don't you understand?
Frank's sheet is as white as a sheet, I can tell you.
I come in at number four, which I think is rigoletto.
No, the song in the middle was, it's a lovely day tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow is
on,
a lovely day.
Yeah.
Then you said rigoletto, did you?
Yes,
rigoletto. What is the title of the aria, please?
Caro Nome.
Caro Nome, yes, dear name, Caro Nome. Then a little more opera.
If you are after a little amusement.
Wasn't it? Or was it Save Wall Ballare?
It was, no, it was not the bit I played. I played, yes, that's right.
Yes.
What shall we call it?
Tim Badam, here's an end to your games with the girls, lads.
That's the one.
Here's an aim.
Yes.
What does it start with, then?
Ian's whispering it. He actually, let's have a little reverse help. Ian, what's it called?
Non più and dry.
Non più and dry, thank you. All right, fair enough, he nearly got it. He got the magic figure anyway. And the last one?
Dry cleaner shops. Valentina.
Valentina, yes. 4 out of 6, 2 marks out of 3. and so to opera. Indeed, to one of the world's favourite operas. Ian Wallace, who, when, and where, in short, what? Who, when, where, and what?
That's the chap who climbs over the wall when her husband isn't looking.
Ah, yes. That narrows it down to about 100 operas, doesn't it?
Yeah. this is one of the unmistakable ones. Pagliacci.
Yes, by...
Pagliacci by Leon Cavallo.
Yes, to name but two. Yes.
And you want to know...
The character.
The character is Silvio.
And the lady...
The lady, oh, goodness, her husband's called Canio.
Yeah. Never mind, you've got enough there. Nedda.
Yes,
that's right. The singer, Orlando Penarai. One mark to you, and we move on to Dennis. Dennis, Pagliacci has something in common with Hamlet and with A Midsummer Night's Dream. What is that?
Well, let's leave Pagliacci out of this.
Midsummer
Night's Dream has in common with Hamlet. Or at least keep talking for long enough for Ian to get the message transmitted.
Oh, that's clever.
I think you're more likely
that's
to
clever.
Know than... As likely to know as Ian.
No. Let's have it. Ian is much more likely to know than I am. And he does know.
Good.
Because apparently Pagliacci... That's quite right, yeah. Like Midsummer Night's Dream and Hamlet contain a play within the play.
You have it. Play within a play for one mark. Yes, true enough. John Amos, here's a passage featuring Pepe. Can you tell me, or better still, sing to me, what comes immediately after the music stops? I don't know.
That would have fooled me, John.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Would you, well, I was just asking where the toilet was.
It's Vesti la Juba just coming up in the
opera.
Anyway, I'm afraid you don't get the mark, John. You can't, can you?
No.
Vesti la Juba was on its way, and you should have known that. Frank.
You should have known that.
Frank, elsewhere in the same opera, we hear this. What is happening?
Italian tenors tend to be rather bulky. And Italian sopranos also tend to be bulky, but with rather sort of fine legs and fine feet. And when a bulky Italian tenor stands on... accidentally, mayhap, the fine foot of an Italian soprano, you get... Am I warm?
Actually, it's better than the bit of action in the opera at that point, I think. I think that would do very nicely for your mark. John, do you happen to know what's happening at that point? It's probably impossible to tell. Il nome, he demanded. And she said,
no. What name?
Yes.
Well, yes.
The name of the lover.
That's right, yes. Canio is demanding to know the name of Nedda's lover, and she's refusing to tell him. Putting on the brave face of the clown, as in Pagliacci, I report that this is where the teams sing. A mixed blessing, as regular listeners will agree. Dennis, you first. All the songs this week have you somewhere in the title.
What song? What popular Dennis, song does it?
Dennis. Well, they all have you in the title, or in one case, thou, which we'll come to
for
a while.
Oh, yeah, that won't be me. Well, yeah, that
well
be me.
No.
Thou driving me crazy.
Thine is a you song, actually. I could have had thou swell. Oh, you think could of it. No, yeah. No, thine is a you song about a spring wedding. I lead you in, and for once I shall dare all and accompany you. Here's the
What a wonderful wedding it will be. What a wonderful day for you and me. Church bells will chime. You will be mine. I feel like a fourth Andrew's sister.
But a great discovery has been made, that when you're accompanied, you stay in the same key all the time.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, yes.
No, we tried it a few weeks ago, and I could feel you treading on my heels musically, searching up and down that thing.
Oh, well. Apple Blossom time gets you two crisp marks, of course. John, I'll play you, in your case, two bars of Doodle 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 in D-flat, and then from you a verse of the song that seeks the whereabouts of Alice, please.
By the gate.
The birds gently singing, sweet lyre gleameth bright, a muse tinge the forest, and all seem glad tonight. The winds fevered brow, the stream of love ever, yet Alice, where art thou?
Worthy applause. Well may you take a drink. Frank, the word you is in your title. Back to you again. I'll play you just the end of the verse, which is part of a singing lesson, and then over to you.
I'll down there. See you.
Shall we change?
Just one of those pedals, sort of rack it up a bit.
try this.
Can we, is there a happy compromise if you, on your keyboard?
Well, if you tighten your belt, will, Frank.
If you will go up an octave and a half, I can't really help you.
I'll see you again when another spring breaks through again. Time may lie heavy between, but what has been is past forgetting. This sweet memory across the years will come to me, though my heart may go awry. In my heart will ever lie just the echo of a sigh. Goodbye.
Finally, Ian, take thou this rose, old fruit, in the key of D. Oh.
Thank you. his little tender rose, the rarest flower in all God's garden fair. Take thou this heart for all your dear eyes tell. God fashioned it for you. For you alone, God fashioned it for you. For you.
We have fashioned another edition of My Music for you, but now it's over. A victory this week by 2.5 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norton, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Schreier.